The WBFO Brief Podcast is made possible by Simon Business School at the University of Rochester. Bloomberg Business Week ranks Simon Business School as the 25th best business school in the U.S. Visit simon.rochester.edu to learn more.
It's Saturday, June 25th.
This is a special edition of the WBFO Brief Podcast. I'm Mark Wozniak. For 4 days this week, reporter Tom Dinke brought us an in-depth look at extremism in Western New York and the ties to right-wing politics. In case you missed it, we're giving you every single segment here today in one session. It started on Tuesday. Here's Jay Moran.
The alleged gunman in the racist Tops Market shooting drove over 3 hours to commit the crime, but that doesn't mean there isn't white supremacy and right-wing extremism in Western New York. WBFO's Tom Dinke reports in the first of a four-part series.
3 hours after a white supremacist opened fire at black shoppers in the Tops on Jefferson Avenue, law enforcement officials held a news conference. They noted a half dozen times that the alleged gunman was not from Western New York.
This is a community where people love each other. The shooter was not from this community.
An individual who the mayor stated is not from this area and is from hours away
from somebody outside of our community.
He is from a county here in New York State that is hours away.
Those comments didn't sit particularly well with Buffalo State College professor of black politics, Dr. Anthony Neal.
I know we talk about the unity of Buffalo, but those who are honest know that Buffalo has problems. Well, West New York has problems, so it seems like it was a way to try to skirt those issues.
Law enforcement has given no indication the gunman had ties to any organized group, whether in Western New York or elsewhere. But some observers say the activities of the local far right are still worth monitoring. Buffalo attorney and activist Heidi Jones has been researching the local far right for the last few years. She says their rhetoric, whether it be online or at demonstrations, is not far off from the racist replacement theory espoused by the alleged Tops gunman.
We do recognize how their rhetoric and their actions contribute to the overall dehumanization process in which it becomes acceptable to reference the Great Replacement Theory and then act on it.
And those who study politics, like University at Buffalo political science professor Jacob Nyheisel, say there is indeed significant overlap between white supremacy and right-wing extremism.
There are some that will go sort of right up to the line until they start believing in racist conspiracy theories and then back off a little bit. And then there are others who embrace all of it. But yes, there's a significant amount of overlap between what you would think of as right-wing extremism and, you know, white nationalism or racial extremists.
There's certainly overt white supremacy in Western New York. The Southern Poverty Law Center is currently tracking three hate groups in the region, including the Lockport White Nationalist Group founded by Carl Hand, who died in April.
But hate groups are increasingly becoming, a kind of a bad measure for what is happening in the country relative to extremism.
Southern Poverty Law investigative reporter Michael Edison Hayden says the number of hate groups in the U.S. is declining. At the same time, there's been an uptick in extremist rhetoric. The reason? The hate is often happening online.
You know, if Western New York has a problem, it's online.
And hate groups aren't the only indicator of extremism. Southern Poverty Law also tracks nearly 500 anti-government groups, described as hard right, anti-democratic, and having a belief that an illegitimate government of leftists are seeking a new world order. Five are in Western New York.
You know, the type of activity you're talking about are people who take the idea of patriotism and turn it into, a thing that galvanizes aggression.
Then there's January 6th. Six Erie County residents were charged in the storming of the Capitol. That's tied for the sixth most of any county in the nation, according to a George Washington University database. As for why Western New York has right-wing extremism, Jones thinks it can be tied directly to the segregated nature of Buffalo. 2010 census data shows Buffalo is the sixth most segregated city in the nation.
Yeah, I think that our deep segregation impacts these right-wing movements. And because it's so much easier to otherize people that you literally don't interact with, but they're just right there.
Neil, the Buffalo State professor, says as a black man, he's felt uneasy seeing trucks with Confederate flags riding around Western New York.
And to me, that signals that there's something present, even though if it hasn't truly manifested itself, that there is a sentiment in this area for maybe replacement theory and those other type issues that child detriment, we sweep them under the carpet and don't address it. But I would say it's definitely a sentiment that's present in this area.
Tom Dinke, WBFO News.
While the alleged gunman in the racist Tops Market shooting was not from Western New York, we reported yesterday that the region is no stranger to right-wing extremism. Today, in part two of a four-part series, WBFO's Tom Dinke looks at some of the region's far-right groups and how they are reacting to the shooting.
As President Biden spoke inside Buffalo's Delavan Grider Community Center last month to honor the victims of the Tops shooting, dozens gathered on the sidewalk across the street. One of them was Pete Harding. In 2020, the Cheektowaga man could be found getting into shouting matches with Black Lives Matter protesters or leading COVID lockdown demonstrations. Then images surfaced of him entering the Capitol building on January 6th and attempting to set ablaze media equipment. His charges are still pending. Outside Biden's speech, Harding was holding a large white flag with a red cross in a blue square. The Christian flag dates back to the early 20th century, but Heidi Jones, a Buffalo attorney researching the far right, says the flag now often symbolizes Christian nationalism.
The only people who count are white Christians.
Harding's attorney, Jason DePasquale, says the flag was only meant to show solidarity with the Tops victims. He says Harding got it from his pastor, although he declined to identify the church. Jones says the Christian flag is one example of how local far-right extremism gets disguised as Christianity and patriotism, especially by anti-government groups, characterized by the Southern Poverty Law Center as hard-right and believing that an illegitimate government of leftists are trying to bring about a new world order.
It's time to learn about everything that's going on in your community according to the Constitution. Now, Coalition Radio.
One of Western New York's five anti-government groups is the Constitutional Coalition of New York State, which holds a weekly radio show on WEBR.
This is Nancy Orticelli.
Nancy Orticelli of West Seneca is the coalition's president. She says she contemplated not doing a show the Monday after the shooting, after receiving online criticism accusing her and the coalition of using dangerous rhetoric.
Standing up for the rights and freedoms for all, and now I want every people group to be removed except the white people. I don't know where that came from and how that's being attributed to me.
The coalition's first show after the shooting denounced racism and violence, but also accused Democrats of pandering to people of color, making racism seem worse than it really is, and even wanting to legalize abortions up until 1 month after a child is born, a false right-wing conspiracy theory.
And people think that there's nothing wrong with that, and we are absolutely becoming like back in the day during the Aztecs and the Incas when they used to sacrifice people, and people just think this is normal.
We asked Orticelli if she believes in another conspiracy theory. The replacement theory, espoused by the alleged Tops gunman, says Democrats are systematically replacing white voters with people of color.
So no, I don't believe in the replacement theory at all. I don't know. I know what it's saying is it's saying to remove white people. I hope that's not what they're doing, but I have no tangible proof as to any of that, so I don't ascribe to that ideology. I do think there's a lot of pandering, but no, I don't believe in that.
Jones calls the Constitutional Coalition a gateway to more extremist thinking.
You start showing up at Constitutional Coalition events that gets you introduced to Watchmen.
The New York Watchmen have provided security at events for the coalition and other related groups. Started in response to 2020 racial justice protests, they're considered an anti-government militia by Southern Poverty Law and have had affiliations with the Proud Boys, a hate group whose leaders have been charged with sedition for January 6th. Uniformed watchmen clashed with counter-demonstrators at Niagara Square in December 2020, something founder Charles Poline talked about at length in his Watchmen podcast.
He got his head cracked. Antifa left their blood on the sidewalk that afternoon.
Got a little bump on the noggin.
Yep, and you know, now they're going to think twice. I mean, they better think twice.
Killeen didn't respond to an interview request. While there's plenty of overlap between local far-right groups, they don't necessarily all get along. Orticelli says there's no love lost between her and Harding. After January 6th, her coalition put out a statement that he was no longer welcome. And Orticelli says, although Harding may have good intentions, she doesn't agree with his decision to visit the neighborhood surrounding Tops.
Sometimes you need to just let people grieve and heal. And if you know that your presence is going to cause any kind of friction or any kind of upsetting people going through something so horrible, I think that you should have the sensitivity to just stay away for a little bit.
As part of our series on right-wing extremism, we've looked at and heard directly from Western New York's far-right groups. Today in Part 3, WBFO's Tom Dinke looks at the politicians with ties to these groups, including a congressional candidate and former Trump administration official. Okay, guys,
so when Western New York native Michael Caputo served as chief spokesperson of the Trump administration's Department of Health and Human Services, he made a Facebook Live video outside his East Aurora home. He went on a conspiratorial rant. He accused CDC scientists of sedition and predicted an armed insurrection from the left following the 2020 election.
But if you carry guns, buy ammunition, ladies and gentlemen, because it's going to be hard to get.
Caputo also gave his viewers another piece of advice.
I urge you, if you're in Buffalo or anywhere in New York, I urge you to look up the New York Watchman.
The Southern Poverty Law Center calls the New York Watchman an anti-government militia that has advocated for violence. Members have celebrated their violent clashes with left-leaning counter-demonstrators. Caputo, who went on medical leave for cancer shortly afterward and now lives in Florida, says he regrets making the video, but doesn't regret endorsing the Watchman. He's longtime friends with the Watchman's founder, Charles Poline.
But am I a member of the Watchman? No. Have I ever attended a Watchman event? No. Do I have any idea what the Watchmen are up to? I don't. But I wouldn't. I live in Florida.
Still, others say, especially in wake of last month's white supremacist shooting at Tops Market, it's concerning that mainstream political figures are associating with far-right groups.
It sends the message that they are legitimate players in our political system.
Heidi Jones is a Buffalo attorney researching the local far-right.
And when we have anti-democratic players in a democratic system, that creates a lot of tension and it disrupts our processes.
New York State Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples Stokes, a Buffalo Democrat, even went so far as to liken it to the days of the Ku Klux Klan disguising themselves under white hoods.
And I think we're back into that same situation again. I think that there are public servants who, you know, dwell in this kind of hate. And we don't know who they are.
People Stokes says she's particularly concerned about the Watchmen.
I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, some people who we know very well are members of that little club.
Then Erie County Controller Stefan Mihailu thanked the Watchmen for protecting him during a skirmish at Niagara Square in 2020. Mihailu did not respond to an interview request. And State Assemblyman David DiPietro has also had Watchmen attend several of his events. DiPietro also did not answer an interview request.
I had never even heard of the Watchmen.
One political figure who did respond was Carl Palladino. Uniformed Watchmen attended a 2020 New Year's Eve party at a Buffalo River property owned by Palladino's Ellicott Development. While January 6th defendant Pete Harding, identifying himself as a Watchman, said in a November 2020 Facebook video that Palladino rented buses for him and others to attend a rally in Albany. Palladino says he has no relationship to the New York Watchmen. As for People Stokes' criticism of him, Palladino says the black majority leader is the one who is racist.
I wouldn't call her a majority leader. I'd call her a waste of time. A very racist waste of time.
Palladino recently announced he's running for New York's 23rd congressional district. Poline, the New York Watchmen's founder, has already voiced his support for the campaign on social media. As for Caputo, he says he was hurt like many Western New Yorkers to learn about the Tops shooting, but he rejects the criticism directed at him and others.
The idea that somehow or another a crazy man from the Pennsylvania border rode in a car for hundreds of miles in order to shoot up a supermarket in Buffalo was inspired by me or any of my friends, that's ridiculous.
He says his left-leaning critics are the real extremists, noting he and his family have received death threats.
They're just completely now absolutely obsessed with me, Stefan Mihailu, Carl Palladino, and others who are just more, we're more mainstream, we're more part of the Buffalo, kind of center, and they're not.
As for the replacement theory espoused by the alleged TOPS gunman, which a recent Southern Poverty Law Center poll found nearly 7 in 10 Republicans believe, Caputo says he doesn't know much about it.
But just because the socialist left calls it a conspiracy theory doesn't make it a conspiracy theory. I don't know if I believe it or not. I don't know enough about it to say I do. But I do know whenever I hear conspiracy theory coming out of the mouths of leftists, I immediately question whether it's a theory at all.
In the wake of the Tops Market shooting in May, our series on right-wing extremism in Western New York has looked at the region's far-right groups and the politicians with ties to them. Now, in this fourth and final part this morning, WBFO's Tom Dinke looks at what can be done to combat extremism.
On May 13th, attorney Heidi Jones and her team of researchers looking into Western New York's far right had a meeting
to discuss what the changing threat landscape looked like.
They determined that violence would likely not come from one of the groups they've been looking into, but rather from individuals inspired by the rhetoric of those groups or others like them. It's a theory called stochastic terrorism,
where you have influential leaders saying things that are dehumanizing and giving space for people to act on that, on those concepts.
Jones's group decided they should host some Stop the Bleed courses and encourage people to carry first aid kits. The next day, the shooting at Tops Market happened. The white supremacist alleged gunman wrote he was inspired by the racist replacement theory that's become rather mainstream.
I was deeply angry that this happened here, but also that all of the work I've been doing hasn't made an impact.
So what can be done to curb extremism? The answers aren't simple.
And how there's a feeding frenzy on social media platforms where hate festers more hate.
Governor Kathy Hochul has signed legislation requiring social media companies to report how they're responding to hate speech on their platforms, as well as creating a task force to look at what role the companies play in promoting violent extremism.
I think that this is something that's particularly hard to deal with legislatively. I really do.
University at Buffalo political science professor Jacob Neuheisel isn't sure much can be done to stop hate speech online. He notes the Constitution makes it difficult to criminalize.
And even in a state like New York, that has somewhat stronger provisions to go after hate speech, it's still not going to stop the proliferation of kinds of things like we've seen.
The state has been criticized for its dormant domestic terrorism task force. Created in 2020, it met for the very first time last week. The meeting was held virtually, but Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples-Stokes, a Buffalo Democrat, had hoped it would take place in Western New York.
I think it sends a very strong message to start there, because this is where they sent what they made their first target.
At the federal level, the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act passed the Democrat-controlled House last month before stalling in the divided Senate. Buffalo State College professor of black politics, Dr. Anthony Neal, says he was disappointed his congressman, Chris Jacobs, and other Republicans voted down the bill.
The Republican mantra is that we are against it, but we don't want to pass that policy and end up doing nothing. In the process,
a bipartisan gun control package is currently in the works. Neal says that's a start.
Because when you come at it from white supremacy extremism, from foreign terrorism, domestic terrorism, the common denominator is access to military-style weapons that are efficient killing machines to destroy human lives and human bodies.
The Southern Poverty Law Center tracks everything from hate groups to anti-government groups. Its investigative reporter, Michael Edison Hayden, says communities must call out hatred when they see it, but that it's also crucial not to automatically label those with different political views as extremists.
We need to start building real communities everywhere in this country in order to get past whatever this horrible stage we're in of division. And I think that means, being able to tolerate people who have different beliefs, but draw the line hard on explicit hatred of any kind.
The president of one of Western New York's anti-government groups, Nancy Orticelli, says she'd welcome a face-to-face discussion with her critics, like Jones.
And maybe we could find some kind of common ground just to be human beings on, and to be decent and to work for the betterment of the people. We're not going to agree on everything. We have completely different beliefs and ideologies, but I'm sure there's some things that we could agree on
Jones, says she and her team have considered speaking directly to far-right leaders like Orticelli. They've decided they'd rather focus on helping Orticelli's potential radio listeners recognize extremism.
And that's a better use of the energy.
The Department of Justice has charged the alleged TOPS gunman with numerous federal hate crime charges. Speaking in Buffalo last week, FBI officials say they're looking into anyone who may have communicated with the gunman before the shooting. Tom Dinke, WBFO News.
And you can hear Tom discuss this series on the next edition of Buffalo What's Next. That's Monday, June 27th at 10 a.m. on WBFO.
Be sure to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, by all means, leave a review, too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team is made possible by members. Thanks for listening.